You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Entrepreneur Corner.
14 minutes after 11, it is Entrepreneur Corner. And Entrepreneur Corner is brought to you by Calix Santon, Oriental Plaza, Cedar Square and Mall of Africa. Calix, for the businessman who knows what he wants. And we're starting a little bit later than usual. We've been spoiled with so much good content on the show over the last couple of weeks, and I can't keep up with it. We will be podcasting the last hour and 10 minutes or so. Thank you to the historians for coming in and narrating a fascinating history about the colonial roots of tribal identity. But moving on, as promised, you will be meeting yet again in this segment another fascinating African entrepreneur in Melvin Lubega, who is here with me in the studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you for having me, CBS.
Are you well?
Yes, good, thanks. No.
The last time you and I spoke on the radio was on the other side. Actually, no, the old part of the building.
It was.
Just before you went to Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship, and what a journey it has been from there. First and foremost, I must say I'm enormously inspired by the incredible work that you have been doing and the consistency in terms of your hard work and achievements. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so I want to start first and foremost with a company, and then we'll work back and we'll tell people a little bit about your biography, where you are from and where the entrepreneurial journey came from. But you have established a very important e-learning platform.
Yes, that's correct. So GoOne.com is effectively a solution which enables businesses to find, book, deliver, and track training for all their employees. And what essentially we did was we became the first one-stop shop for aggregating corporate education. So from that perspective, we're able to support clients in any industry, in any geography, with their training needs end-to-end.
And where did you see the gap in terms of where one can come in? Because there's so many other parts of the education sector, not just traditionally, but also digitally, that all pretend that they will make the ultimate difference when it comes to revolutionizing learning in the workplace.
And I think the key thing is there are many systems and products out there that do that. And for us, the key thing is not necessarily to create, but curate. So we partner with a number of leading technology and training providers such that we're able to bring their content onto one system. So we support both online training as well as face-to-face training.
When did the idea for this business come to you? Just give us a little bit of the backstory. Was this while you were a student?
You know, I want to say it began in the studio next door when we began speaking probably a few years back.
Say all the right things.
But it really began during my time at Oxford. So the background coming to Oxford was one in management consulting and really working with organizations and helping them solve their problems. But what I discovered was many of the problems we were brought on to solve resulted in organizations not investing in their people enough. And I think in South Africa, we have this challenge where we always refer to how many years have you worked in a company and not necessarily the years of experience and the quality that you've had at a company from a training perspective. So when I went to Oxford, one of my key things was to unpack how can I do something different in the professional learning space, leveraging technology. So for my second degree at Oxford, I did the Master's in Education, Learning and Technology. And it was there where I met my co-founder and business partner, who was also on a similar scholarship. He was Australian, so as a South African, it was very difficult to open up to him at first. But really great gentleman, and really there when we find we had a similar alignment around our vision and the power of education more broadly within a professional setting.
Okay. I want you to slow down for me the description of exactly what it is that you provide, because obviously there is the platform, but also there's a question of content. Across which businesses, which sectors of the economy do you work? And you're not necessarily an expert in terms of the content on all of the different kind of business that you have. So if I'm a client, whatever business I have, I don't know, in banking, media, whatever, what do I get when I come to you?
Yes. So think about the use case for GoOne. So if you are training, let's say, an L&D manager, HR manager in your company, and you're trying to find training relevant for your organization, you may begin by, let's say, going to Google and then trying to search for a particular training topic, let's say leadership, Gauteng for construction. What we provide is a marketplace where you're able to find the content you need for your organization with a better search functionality than you would for Google. So what we provide you with is a marketplace of content where you as an organization can have a custom branded learning interface, but in the same vein, you're able to pick training for your employees and allocate it within the actual platform itself and do payment end to end on the GoOne ecosystem. So what you actually get is a platform to both host your training, but also to deliver it. And the use case really comes to the fore when you think about an organization trying to track training across a myriad of employees. We typically find our strongest entry point is around compliance, because that's where we find it's something where organizations have to do it, and it's where there's often a big sense of reporting which is required around that. But insofar as the industries where we operate in South Africa, we do some stuff in the mining space, we do some stuff in fast-moving consumer goods as well as finance. But in the same vein, we currently train 200,000 government employees in Malaysia, for example. So the beautiful thing about the platform is you have the flexibility, because we don't necessarily do the content ourselves, to offer content across the different streams that are relevant to businesses.
Wow, that's fascinating. 19 minutes after 11, it is the Entrepreneur Corner. We're going to take a quick breather here, and then we're going to ask Malvin just what some of the backstory is to his entrepreneurial journey. If you want to ask him a question, say, how's it? Maybe you know him. I have worked with his company. Give us a call on 011-883-0702. That is our number here in Johannesburg, and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. 20 minutes after 11.
702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
22 minutes after 11. I want to talk a little bit about the size of the company. Where do you guys operate? Do you have a fixed abode? Are you living out of your suitcase still?
So we have a fixed abode. So we're fortunate to operate in 6 countries from a physical presence perspective, but we currently service clients in 23. Insofar as the size of the organization, we currently have 78 employees, currently training over 500,000 people across the world.
Jeez, that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. We've got a caller on the line. Angie, I think.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Angie. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Eusebius. Thank you for the opportunity. And hi, Malvin.
Hey,
myself
Angie.
And Sapna on our way to a client. Hi, Malvin.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I want to confirm that Malvin is an astute businessman.
Oh, you can vouch for him.
Value to, excuse me?
You can vouch for him.
I can absolutely vouch for him. Thank you. he's a motivation to a lot of people, and it's an absolute pleasure dealing with him.
Great stuff. Thank you, Angie. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your day. Thank you, Eusebius.
Absolutely. Thanks, Angie. How do you compete with content providers for e-learning that are specialists in particular sectors where a potential client is situated?
Yes.
What is the unique selling point here?
So for us, often in any organization, even if, let's say, you are an engineering company and you have very particular engineering training, you also have the generic leadership training or even the generic soft skills training. So you as a company want to get the best-in-class training for each particular vertical or domain that you train in. So we partner with the best-in-class for each of those domains and bring it together in one platform. And the benefit we have from GoOne is, one, the easy tracking across one platform as opposed to 3 in that instance. But in the same vein, because we're buying across multiple clients, we can get better pricing than any one client can on their own for the content they want to purchase. So really, we end up partnering with the best-in-class content providers. So a lot of the larger companies you'd know in the enterprise space, whether it's Open Sesame, Skillsoft, and others, we actually are their partners and have the ability to offer their content to our clients. And the same would go for in-person trainers, for example.
I would imagine that your background in management consulting would have helped you a lot, particularly to understand at a high level what some of these needs are, and very quickly learning how to deal with huge data and content on large volume, because you were at BCG. Talk to me a little bit about how that background has enabled you to also set up this business.
Yes, I'm really fortunate to have began my career with the Boston Consulting Group. Then I was their first associate in Africa, and what was quite nice was organizations as a consultant let you in as a trusted advisor. So you often get to understand what the ebb and flow is for a business. And for me, that was very useful, because at GoOne, we typically are a B2B business. And it's often good to understand the enterprise. So when you're thinking about how to really, one, solve a client's problem and make sure you're asking the right question, I think BCG and that experience helped there. So my background was in actuarial science prior to BCG, and I love numbers. So particularly for us in our business, it's important to understand what sort of data we're seeing in the platform, to understand what sort of training is most relevant for someone based on their role or based on their industry. So from that perspective, making sense of different training options has been very beneficial, because the aggregate information then feeds back to individual clients.
I have enormous respect for you guys taking so much risk as an entrepreneur, and you obviously have, through hard work, a combination of hard work, genetic luck and opportunity, especially in the Ellen Gray community as well, being exposed to other folks who are on similar journeys and with similar pressure points in terms of when do I take the plunge or not and go it alone. I want you to go back and just reflect for me a little bit. When you have the predictability of income, clear career path inside an organization like BCG, there are obvious advantages to sticking it out and an established corporate as opposed to running with your own vision. How did you puzzle through those choices?
So many, I feel like to some extent I may have not sold out, but I think I really began in corporates from that perspective. I knew what the cushy life was from that perspective. But what I asked myself, particularly when I was in my studies, I asked myself, am I doing something that only Malvern can do? Because I want to be doing something where I could add value. And my reality was I thought I really enjoyed consulting and I thought I had a lot more to learn in that particular space, but somebody else could be a partner at a consulting firm. Whereas I thought, look, the kids may say I squandered my 20s and I could have been a better off person and they could be a trust fund kid by then. But I think me focusing my energy on stuff that I believe I bring something unique value to is really front of mind for me. And I really think just on the education space was really what drew me out of that corporate setting. In the same vein, it is high risk. I think we were fortunate when we began Go One to be students. So fortunate to have had then some scholarship money coming in. So we weren't necessarily drawing on the business ourselves. But it's really being able to take that first leap of faith, because it's never going to be the right time to really step out there.
Mm. And how many years has it been now?
It's been 3 years now.
And at last count, what was the net worth of the business?
So at our last raise last year, it was $15 million.
Okay, that's not too shabby. I think you're one of the first young entrepreneurs we've had in the slot who already has an international footprint. What are the risks in terms of how your business is set up, or what are the things you've had to learn in terms of how the environment differs from country to country? Because you're in and out of the country now, you're told to be off air, and most of the entrepreneurs we've had haven't yet scaled up or gone global. I mean, they have, some of them have that built into the concept of their business, but you are already doing so.
Yeah. I think the key thing is to remain humble. I think often when you have success in one country, you feel you can just go and conquer the next hill. And what I found, particularly building out Go One, even when we opened up our office, for example, last year, I'm opening up the office in Malaysia and hiring the team there. It was a function of, one, finding the right people, but then also taking time to understand the market and find the right partners. Because, for example, the same way we sell, perfect example. So when I'm selling in the US or Australia, my salespeople can literally go end to end on a deal without ever meeting a client. They can literally do webinars and telephone conversations. In Nigeria or even in South Africa, what happens is clients want to meet you, even if it's just to shake your hand and know you're a real person and then say thank you, you can go. But there's a strong sense of a different sales cycle completely. Mm. And I think those nuances need to be discovered and you shouldn't rush the process. But in the same vein, I think it's not expanding for the sake of expanding. Like I'm the last person to want to enter a new country, but we've been fortunate that our clients have taken us there.
You know, that sets me up nicely for what I wanted to ask you next, which is levels of penetration with technology differ from country to country. We know how slow it is even to just access the internet in many parts of our region, including in South Africa. It can often be very frustrating. And then there's a cultural issue. We still want to see a physical person with, if not chalk, certainly a, you know, some sort of black marker pen in his hand in front of us physically. Has that been a challenge at all in terms of building a client base? Has it been difficult from a marketing and sales point of view to even persuade companies that they have a need that they may not have recognized that they have?
Yes, that's so true. Often I'm asked who our biggest competitors are, and it's often the blackboard or someone's file on their computer where they believe that that's where their training happens and their tracking happens. And I think often it's about meeting a client where they are in their maturity from a learning perspective or technology perspective. And it's about saying, let's start where you are and let's see how you can almost add technology to make your process efficient. Because the reality is, technology isn't a panacea or solution for everything. It's more so an enabler for more efficient and better training opportunities. So for us, it often does change the dynamic of a conversation, but it also then allows you to become a trusted advisor over the relationship of the client. Mm-hmm. And that's been the differences we've seen.
Okay, we're going to keep Malvern for a couple more minutes. I know that time is money. I hope you won't mind, just to unravel a bit more of his story and the company. But it is 11:30. Let's first check in.
702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
Indeed, and I'm with the co-founder and director of GoOne.com, which is an e-learning platform that gives clients access to self-developed training content. I just want us to be a little bit more practical, Mel. I'm very fascinated. I mean, I know your business is doing extremely well, and these numbers are you know, I don't know, level four blesser kind of numbers in terms of the net worth of the business. But I, if there are people who are responsible for learning in their corporates and they're listening, I want them to get a much more practical and precise sense of what will they get so that they can flood our phone lines and ask us for your details once you are out of the studio. So maybe you can give us an example, even if it's at a high level, without disclosing secrets of your clients, of the value that you add. Yes. Now, I get the idea of having an e-portal. I get the idea of aggregating content in a way that is far more efficient than a client can do in-house, or even by going to one specialist content provider who maybe, you know, deals with knowledge in that particular sector of the economy. But beyond that, like practically, what do I get?
Yes. So when a client comes to us, they'll typically want to invest in their staff or train them. So when they would come into, for example, their GoWan platform, what they would do is they'd mix a blend of content that we have in our marketplace with their own company content. Let's say it's a video from the CEO saying, welcome to our organization. Think about the onboarding use case. And then what clients are able to do within GoWan is they're able to create learning pathways where you'd be able to structure different modules and courses drawing from different content providers into one particular pathway, which can be defined by a role or by seniority within the business. Then what they're able to then do is then assign that to individual employees. And this can be a blend of, let's say, the video from the CEO welcoming them, what does it mean to be in this company, best practices around, let's say, selling. And then you can also include in that a in-person training session. So you can actually use GoWan to book your in-person training sessions, both internally for workshops, but also externally. So within GoWan, we almost, when you think about our marketplace, we have the online training. Then you have the in-person training, which includes workshops, some CETA accredited provider training there as well around first aid and other things, as well as conferences. And then you have learning resources. Because we believe that learning doesn't necessarily happen only through courses, but also through bite-sized, let's say, articles people share, videos someone comes across. So we almost try to structure a training pathway such that it enables the employees to get the most benefit from their training environment. And then that's supplemented by a very powerful reporting engine. So you get to the granularity of the training that's happening within the organization, which can then be complemented by knowledge checks and quizzes. So, for example, here in South Africa, I'm working with a large investment bank, and they want to train their staff in South Africa as well as across Africa. And we're helping them structure learning pathways around the best-in-class training content and their secret sauce around how they train their staff. And that's going to be how they get value from GoWan.
I think this must be enormously exciting because, you know, especially in the global south where investments in education, the quality of education to make our economies more globally competitive is so crucial. And I think, for example, even here in our country where you have such incredible inequalities in terms of education, that means that a lot of people are not workplace ready. And there's a lot of opportunity for upskilling as well. And I know virtually nothing about technology, but I would imagine there must be very exciting ways in which technology may yet help us to bridge the gap between the shortcomings of our formal education system and the high level of functionality, knowledge, and agility that is required in the modern workplace. I've only just, the other day I read a book, and this was news to me, it wouldn't be to you, get a glimpse of, for example, what gaming can do to the learning process. How much are you guys also thinking innovatively beyond content and bite sizes that I can quickly share with my colleague, and now they are already upskilled just by having a new bit of content that they've read through? But beyond that, other ways of thinking about technology to help the process of learning and for a client?
Yes, so gamification is an interesting one, and that's one which we support within GoWan. So you can create awards based on different achievements within the system or engagement within the system. You and I are people of the gym. And for example, we'll go to Virgin Active because we can get our free whatever meal or our smoothie. And even though the benefit is so small, the cost is so small for that, same thing in training. thing is saying, how do you leverage the technology platform to track and have that visibility and then to reward it by real things? I think the biggest impact on training really happens when you tie business outcomes to training. I think what we find in many clients, unfortunately, is that training is often the place where when things are tough, they cut training first. And it's unfortunate because it's almost the best thing you should be doing to invest in your staff so they can be more productive, for example. So I think they're definitely, in our side, when we think about the platform, is one, bring the best in class technology and the best in class content. And I mean, technology also, you won't see the benefits. For example, we're now starting to integrate blockchain technology into how we, for example, track accreditations within the system. But that is deep technology, but it's only something which happens in the back end. So the key question is, how do you bring best in class for a purpose, not for the sake of bringing it into a business?
Okay, second last question. Anyone who looks at your CV would be hugely intimidated. And you know, of course, CVs are CVs of successes. But entrepreneurs have a lot of grit and determination because you have to overcome obstacles. What thus far in the journey with this particular business, Melvin, has been the biggest challenge for you?
So the biggest challenge for me was realizing that as an entrepreneur in the early days, it is a lonely, it's a very lonely place. I think often we romanticize entrepreneurship because you hear the success stories and you see like, okay, Melvin's raised this amount of money, he's closed that big deal in the US. But the reality is it can be quite lonely insofar as trying to build up a team. And I think the onus really then comes onto the entrepreneur to articulate their vision such that they're able to bring on like-minded people, like-minded partners, like-minded investors. And I think it's something which you often aren't told, because I think right now, entrepreneurship is almost like a sexy word. It's in vogue right now. Yeah. So you want to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. I mean, it's like back in the day, if you're unemployed, you could tell your friends, I'm just consulting. No one ever asks who you're consulting. And I think it's important as an entrepreneur to understand which problem are you solving and how you're adding value to your customers. And I think if you start there, you're then able to find confidence around your vision that you've articulated.
And last but not least, if someone wants to get a hold of you and learn a bit more about the company and hopefully also do business with you, how can they do so?
Yes. So goone.com is our website, and we have ready available access there to engage with us. Particularly, so it's GO and then number1.com. I think CBSC may have given us a little shout out, so we thank you for that as well.
Yeah, I've also tweeted the link. I'll do it again.
But we really appreciate it. I mean, we're really willing to engage any organization of any size. I mean, our smallest client has 15 employees. Our largest one has 50,000 employees. So really, it's about meeting that need.
Great stuff. We look forward to having you on the show again. Every time you're here, you've got a new venture. The next time you're here, I don't know what we're going to be having you on as one of the captains of industry. Congratulations, Melvin, and all the best from here.
No, thank you much. And thank you, this is for
that was today's edition of Entrepreneur Corner.